Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Earthquakes on these cross faults, these smaller faults, could potentially trigger a larger one in the San Andreas.
Is the big one on its way? Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 24th, 2009. I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins. The teachers strike back again. 2 weeks ago, the Los Angeles School Board agreed to send out nearly 9,000 layoff notices. Today, the board met again, and teachers and parents were there, too. Teacher union chapter leader David Meyer-Off says students will also suffer.
School board and the superintendent need to understand the number one priority are the teachers. No teachers, there are no schools, no students' future. It's the end of their education.
The cuts will increase the average high school classroom size to 42 students. When news broke about the LAUSD's embarrassing graduation rates, the district created the Diploma Project, but its existence may be short-lived. Jessica Connor reports.
It's not just teachers' jobs on the chopping block. Superintendent Ramon Cortinas is considering cutting programs like the Diploma Project, created 3 years ago to remedy embarrassing dropout rates. Diploma Project analyst Jenny Liu says cutting the program would be a step backwards.
With 80 of us being cut, that's going against what we've been trying to do for the last 3 years. And I think we're making progress now, and you know, right as we're doing better and we're trying to bring these kids back, they want to go ahead and eliminate our program.
According to state figures, less than half the students at Jefferson High School in South LA will ever reach graduation day. The superintendent promised that if the project is cut, it will be replaced by a more effective initiative. The district's overall graduation rates have improved slightly in the last few years, but it's difficult to tell if dropout rates have actually gone down. Teresa Venezuela, a dropout prevention advisor, says the Diploma Project is absolutely necessary to keep kids on track to graduation.
My biggest concern is that the students who need the most help aren't going to be getting it. They really won't, because if you talk to students that have worked with our Diploma Project advisors, they'll say no one else at the school site worked with me, no one else talked to me, I didn't feel I had anyone else to go to, but my DPA helped me. So who are these students going to go to now?
As the state collects additional money from the stimulus bill, some programs may be saved. Still, the 80 people that work in Project Diploma are worried, not just for themselves, but for their students. Jessica Connor, Annenberg Radio News.
Today is the special election to fill the Senate seat vacated by Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas. Voter turnout for this election is expected to be low, and that has been the case for the polling place on Adams Boulevard. There are 8 candidates running for the seat, and poll worker Eve Lee says that might be part of the problem.
Maybe they just figured, you know, why bother with it? There's a lot of people who are totally unknown who are vying for the same position.
Only about 20 people had come to vote by mid-afternoon, but Lee hopes that more will show up as people head home during rush hour.
I wish it, you know, people had expressed a little more interest or enthusiasm for it. It would have been nice. Maybe it'll pick up. You never know.
The mostly Democratic 26th district includes Baldwin Hills, Hollywood, Los Feliz, and Leimert Park. Ridley Thomas endorsed Democratic Assemblyman Kieran Price Jr. If no candidate gets the majority vote required to win, a runoff election will be held in May. Beginning today, crimes against... Beginning today, crimes against the Los Angeles homeless will be considered hate crimes. The LA County of Board Supervisors directed the Human Relations Commission to add a new homeless category to the hate crime database. Police training will now emphasize investigating these crimes, and the commission was told to create more programs to humanize the homeless. A crackdown on an international heroin ring yielded 45 arrests this morning. Sergeant Steve Yock of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department says the group was responsible for providing gangs in Southern California with heroin.
It was a joint operation that began last year in August, and the agencies involved were the Drug Enforcement Agency and the LA Sheriff's Narcotics Bureau.
Officers issued arrest warrants in locations around Southern California. Yawk says the investigation resulted in 15 to 20 kilograms of heroin being seized. The street value is estimated to be about $2 million. For tonight, you can expect clear skies and lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, it will be sunny with highs in the upper 70s and lows in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, the warm weather continues with highs in the low 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, all the latest details and reactions on the decision to lay off Los Angeles teachers. When there's a chance of rain, you grab for your umbrella. But what do you do when there's a chance of earthquakes? Dina Diaz fills us in.
The big question is not if, but when the big earthquake will come. That's why scientists are keeping a close eye on a swarm of earthquakes in the area around the Salton Sea. Experts say quakes in that area could trigger a major event along the San Andreas fault line, which runs under Los Angeles.
The San Andreas, over the last few thousand years, it's had a 200-year recurrence interval, which means every few hundred years, on average, you get another large event.
That's research geophysicist Graham Kent from UC San Diego.
It's been about 330 years since the last event. Remember, we're an earthquake country, and be prepared and have water and all the important things.
Kent and his team are studying the relationship between small seismic activity like this and large-scale events. Three quakes shook the Salton Sea area in Imperial Valley early this morning. A magnitude 4.7 quake hit at 4:55 a.m. near Bombay Beach, 90 miles from San Diego. They were followed by two smaller earthquakes, measuring 2.7 and 3.0. 42 quakes have already rocked the area since Saturday morning. Ken says he isn't sure if small quakes like these can contribute to the big one, but that each quake brings them closer to answers.
Now what we're doing is looking at this swarm that seems to be growing a little bit. We are collecting a bunch of data to address this question. Unfortunately, we're just not in the position to give more of a forecast.
The last time a swarm of quakes hit this area was in 2001. Dina Diaz, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa introduced a new program in South LA this morning that aims to end LA's pricey dependence on payday lenders and check cashing stores. Jean-Luc Renault has more.
South LA resident Likea Johnson says she stopped going to check cashing shops for one reason.
Because they're taking my money, and I need like the extra dollar or two.
She says she's happier depositing her checks at her local bank, but nearly 200,000 other households in LA still don't have bank accounts. Instead, they rely on expensive alternatives, which include lenders that charge to cash paychecks and offer interest-heavy payday loans. A 2008 Brookings Institution study reports that these businesses outnumber banks and credit unions 5-1 in South LA. Mayor Villaraigosa introduced the Bank on LA initiative today at a community finance center in South LA. He says the program, found in about 50 other cities, will help so-called unbanked people open accounts.
Families will no longer need to find their nearest check cashing shop and pay eye-popping fees just to turn in their paychecks into cash.
Granted, it's a tough time to start asking people to start trusting banks.
We're also going to be very aggressive at outreaching to people.
But will banks, now reluctant to take risks, want to reach out to low-income communities? USC professor Manuel Pastor says a similar program in San Francisco has proven that low-income customers keep healthy accounts. He also says there's little risk for banks when customers open accounts.
What we're talking about is opening up banking accounts. It's on the deposit side, right? And opening up savings accounts, it's not about making loans.
A Pew Research Center study shows that households could save up to $150 million a year if they stop relying on check cashing stores. Jean-Luc Renault, Annenberg Radio News.
To some, graffiti is an art form, but to city officials, it's just illegal. Karen Marcus reports on a new plan to tackle the tagging problem.
LA City Council Member Dennis Zine and Assembly Member Norma Torres joined City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo to call on the city and state to crack down on graffiti.
So we're opening up a new front and launching a comprehensive initiative designed to give us a decisive edge in our war on graffiti vandalism at both the local and state levels.
Zine spoke about the new legislation, which will hold taggers and their parents financially liable for graffiti.
And they are oftentimes acknowledged by their parents because they think they're performing art in the city of Los Angeles, in this region. This is not art. This is a crime, a very serious crime.
A city ordinance introduced late last year fines parents $1,000 and places a lien on property for any tagging their children do. The new ordinance will make it easier to punish parents and children. It will recover funds from civil and criminal cases related to graffiti. The city will also be able to protect private property and act as the plaintiff in their place to obtain funds for the city. The ordinance also introduces a high-tech graffiti tracking database.
We're going to be able to store the information. We're going to sort it by name, tagging crew, gang, and location. Okay, so we know who they are. This database will bring California's fight against graffiti vandalism into the 21st century.
At the state level, Assemblymember Torres is introducing Bill 576 to give more funds to local government to combat graffiti. Last year, the city of Los Angeles spent $7 million catching and cleaning up after taggers. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
Now back to our top story. The school board met in a closed session today to consider a plan that would cut more than 8,000 teachers and staff in the LA Unified School District. The closed doors didn't stop opponents of the plan from making their voices heard. Richie Duchon reports.
Save our teachers! Save our schools! Save our teachers! Save our schools!
Students and parents showed up outside the LAUSD school board meeting today to protest teacher layoffs and cuts to programs. Parent Jody Shipper came to say she knows times are tough, but education is not the place to cut.
This is the future. These are our children, and we're talking about letting us educate our children with extraordinarily passionate and themselves well-educated people. So I couldn't not be here.
LAUSD is facing a budget deficit of more than $700 million over the next year, and that's expected to grow. Speaking earlier this month on KTLS On the Record, School Superintendent Ramon Cortinez said the financial equation is not in the district's favor.
We have a declining enrollment, we've had declining revenues, and we've had increased costs.
Cortinez says those include higher salaries and benefits, as well as rising utility rates. He says those factors, on top of the bad economy, leave the district with little choice.
This district has gone through budget cuts for the last several years, and we have shaved and shaved and shaved. And it is no longer feasible to shave. We are going to be eliminating.
I guarantee the scores of the students on their tests will go down.
That's David Meyeroff. He's a sixth grade science and math teacher at Florence Nightingale Middle School and a United Teachers Los Angeles chapter leader.
I guarantee the graduation rates of this district will go down.
Meyeroff says that's the real problem. Cutting teachers at the middle school level hurts students later in high school and keeps them from going to college. And Meyeroff says there are ways to trim the district's budget deficit without laying off teachers.
We can close the local district offices. That's about $40 to $50 million. We can stop giving these periodic assessments. That's $150 million.
Meyeroff says the district also needs to use federal stimulus money to keep teachers on the job and in classrooms. But in his public television appearance earlier this month, Superintendent Cortinez said that may not be so easy.
We don't know what the state will do. Will they take a percentage of our money? Will the governor take some of our money to help balance the major deficit that he is having to deal with?
The LAUSD School Board will vote on the proposed budget plan a week from today. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
The LAUSD School Board met today to review its plan to lay off 8,400 employees. Thousands of teachers and staff have already received notices. Earlier today, I spoke with Alex Caputo-Pearl, a teacher at Crenshaw High School. He did not receive a layoff notice, but he says the school will suffer the effects of the pending layoffs.
We have 20 teachers at Crenshaw High School that have received reduction in force notices saying that they've been terminated as of June.
How are they taking it?
Well, they're taking it with a lot of grief and despair right now, but I think also a lot of energy and anger that they're turning into mobilization to try to get the district to rescind the notices.
What exactly are they doing at this point?
Well, UTLA, the teachers union, is working with different community groups, different student groups on a variety of different protests and actions. For example, UTLA West Area, which is the part of the city that's sort of from Avenue West, we've been having actions at different sites where the district could cut money rather than cutting teachers.
How do you think the layoffs are going to affect your students?
Well, it's going to have a devastating impact. I mean, a lot of the teachers who receive layoff notices are some of our most passionate teachers, some of our teachers who come from the communities in which they teach, teachers who have a social justice mission, who come out of college campus work around social justice issues. A lot of these teachers are teachers that the students are very bonded to. For example, here at Crenshaw, we have a social justice and law academy where we've got 300 students who work with 14 staff in personalized environments. We stand to lose 3 out of our 10 classroom teachers and our only counselor, which would essentially cripple the academy. So students are very upset about this. It also has a disproportionate impact on the students who can least afford it. So communities that have been neglected for decades and have gotten the short end of the stick in terms of institutional discrimination in the past are the ones that have the highest rates of teacher reduction in force notices, the highest likelihood of losing those teachers. So it's racial discrimination and class discrimination, brought forward in this issue as well.
How are the other teachers, within the school, outside of doing the protest, how are they reacting to these layoffs of their fellow colleagues?
We've got a lot of support because this is something that people understand is an attack on public education. It's not just an attack on individual teachers. So almost 9,000 layoff notices went out, which means that if those teachers actually leave, it's going to have impact across the entire school and the entire system and an impact on kids. So there's a lot of support from teachers of a variety of different stripes around this. And it's exemplified in the fact that the teachers union is considering calling a citywide one-day strike around this, at least a one-day strike, and other possible work stoppages as well.
That was Alex Caputo-Pearl, a Crenshaw High School teacher. Now we check in with Katie Kim to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Brooke. Here are some of the stories we're covering today. So President Obama is holding his second public press conference in about 40 minutes, and he is once again addressing the economy. So we spoke to some L.A. residents about their take on the country's enormous deficit and what they expect the president to say.
Katie, tell me about ATVN's new series.
Well, every Tuesday, we're going to bring you our new series, Eye on the Economy, about how the recession is affecting different industries and people in Los Angeles. So tonight, we're taking a look at how these tough financial times impact recycling. Plus, Japan wins the World Baseball Classic again. Brooke, I don't know how much of the game you saw last night, but it was definitely a nail-biter, ending with Japan's 5-3 win over Team Korea in the 10th inning. So we caught up with a few Team Japan fans who are still celebrating. So all these stories and so much more coming up at 6 p.m. on Annenberg TV News.
Well, that sounds great. Thanks, Katie. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brooke Sydney Gavins.